Messiah Jesus Christ, who brings us truth and grace. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he had said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then they brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, today throughout the United States, we celebrate the Sanctity of Life Sunday, the reason for the picture of our memorial to the unborn here today. And this Sunday is usually celebrated on the weekend closest to January 22nd, the day that the Roe versus Wade decision on abortion was made by our Supreme Court. So today I would like to talk about the sanctity of life, not specifically about abortion, but something that should concern all of us, that St. Paul mentions in our second reading today. St. Paul says, "The body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, glorify God in your body." This letter is addressed to all the members of the church in Corinth. Corinth was a bawdy seaport in cosmopolitan Greece and the center of intellectual unrest. The vices of every seaport, plus the philosophical confusion of ancient Greece, were all part of these people's lives and gave rise in part to the need for this letter. One of the greatest sins of the pagan port town of Corinth was prostitution. A few Christians even tried to justify prostitution as part of the Christian liberty which Paul had preached to them. Corinth was a difficult place to preach a new doctrine and a new morality, but Paul had dared to preach both, provoking a lot of controversy. The pagan Corinthians believed that the soul of man was the important part and the body was just a piece of matter. They looked on the body as a matter of desires to be fulfilled, including the desire for sex. Therefore, they argued, one ought to let the desires of the body have their way. Some of the Christian Corinthians had apparently picked up these pagan ideas. So Paul reminded them that they were sanctified and called to be holy, like all who call on the name of Jesus. And just as God called Samuel and Jesus called his apostles, The Corinthian Christians were called to lead a life of holiness. Paul's argument runs like this. Since God's Spirit dwells in us, we have become temples of God, and consequently, our bodies are sacred. In addition, Christ gave his body in order that man might be redeemed, body and soul. Hence, a man's body is not his own to do with what he likes, nor to the satisfaction of his lusts, but for the glory of God. St. Paul is declaring to the Corinthians, you are not your own. The battle cry of pro-choice is my body, my life, my decision. In other words, the idea that we are indeed our own. The idea is that we are each a captain of our own ship, and nobody can tell us what to do. Christianity challenges all that. Because of what Jesus Christ did, we are no longer our own. He owns us, yet not to oppress or enslave us, but to incorporate us into his body. Nobody owns himself, and nobody owns anyone else. In Christ, we go beyond merely the natural concept of the common good. Rather, we enter into a new humanity and a level of love and unity with one another, including the unborn, that could never be achieved by human effort alone. If we believe this, then we must strive to put all immorality out of our lives and live in purity. And purity is not primarily about sex. Purity is not primarily about what you do or don't do. Purity is not primarily about what you watch or what you read or what you say. Purity is about God. Purity is the personal decision to glorify God with your body, soul, and spirit. So many times when we talk about purity, we put it in terms of do's and don'ts. Can I go here? Should I read this book? Is it wrong to watch this movie? Should I listen to this music? Those are legitimate questions, but they are secondary to the real issue. God has a stake in your moral purity. He has called you to purity and is greatly glorified when you walk in purity. The real question is not, do I want this, or would I enjoy this, or do I need this? The question is, will what I do honor God? Will God be glorified if I date this person? Does reading this book dishonor the Lord? Purity is not about you or your desires. Purity is about doing what honors God. Purity means living so that God's reputation is enhanced by your personal choices. If you honor your own self, God will be honored. And this is how we must see all life. All life is holy. The child in the womb, the immigrant at the border, the prisoner on death row, the sick elderly in a nursing home, the wife, the husband, the child. All life is made in the divine image and infused by God's holy grace. We need to attend to each life as such. And the problem begins when we disown our own body, our own self. Because once we dishonor ourselves, it's easy to dishonor others. God has given you your body to give glory to him and to be a member of his household of grace. Do nothing that will dishonor the gift that God has given. Since we are God's children and members of his family, the body of the church, we should resemble him. We should take after him. Only as part of his family, only as God's children, can we achieve holiness of life. So be good to your body, for it's God's temple.